In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Leadership and submission.
Before that session in particular, I pray and ask everyone to pray. Why? It's about the role of male and female in the family, leadership and submission, and who makes the decision in the family. So if you have any sharp weapons, please don't use it. If you have rotten eggs or tomato, it's anathema in the church to use that. And pray that the words which are going to come would be comforting for every one of you. Because the word submission in our civilized world now, they call it the S word. Like the F, this is the S word. Some of the feminists are saying that. And they are antagonizing St. Paul, that he is a chauvinist, because he said that frequently in his epistles. Although St. Peter did it the same. So, I know it's a very iffy subject, but I'm sure God and His Holy Presence with us will let us go through it easily, and everybody will know the reality of it. Do you have handouts? Okay. I wish if someone who is able to speak English could come with me here. From one of our brothers who could come here. Who are singing right now, he could come. Anyone. Get a chair and come here. Is it going to be presented? Okay. And you will see all the verses showing, or most of the important verses are showing here. Although I need also to be read, so it will be recorded in the tape or the CD. Okay, the main part of the presentation tonight is about traditional and non-traditional Christian family. The role of the man and the woman in traditional and non-traditional Christian family, and what kind of marriage you wanted to be, traditional or non-traditional. And there are two main kinds of marital relationship. We call it intrinsic and utilitarian. I will discuss what's meant by that. And then, in dealing with the topic of leadership and submission, first, I will go into that critical subject, what is the definition of manhood? And all men must review the definition. And also the definition of womanhood. Am I man enough for you? Let me review the 15 issues. Am I a woman enough for you? Let me review the 15 issues under womanhood and manhood. And then you have some description of androgynous women, some weak men, some perversion. If we mention or not, it's not be as important. And then we'll discuss what's meant by Christian leadership in the family or anywhere, and what's meant by Christian submission. And after that, and finally, who makes the decision at home? Do you know it now? Do you know everything now? I want to escape without saying it. Do you have any idea about any movie about traditional family? Just a movie about traditional family. The husband is the man, the head of the family, although he knows that the real head is Jesus Christ. But he is the head appointed by Jesus to be the head, and he is the provider, the only sole provider, although he knows that money comes from God to the family as a community property through him. But he feels that he is the provider, the breadwinner. And he is the husband, and he is the father of the children. And the woman in the traditional family is not the head, is not the provider. She is the wife, housewife, in charge of all housework. In traditional family, it is anathema for the man to work anything in the house by his hand. He's above that. He doesn't do anything. Even raising the children is for the woman. He only dictates and gives directions to his wife, to his loving wife, how to raise the children. Even his involvement with the children is minimal compared to his wife, the mother. It's unacceptable, عيب, it's unacceptable for the man in traditional family to wash the dishes. It's a catastrophe. Unacceptable. His honor and dignity is affected. This is the Christian traditional family. And due to the industrialization movement, the woman started to work outside the house as a financial necessity. They need that. And by going out of the wife to work, the structure of the family dynamics has changed. Now, the man is the leader, and the wife is, you read, and the wife is the co-leader. For every leader, it has to be a co-leader, captain, the sub-captain, in his absence. In the traditional family, in his absence, the house is deprived of a leader, waiting for him to come to make decisions. So, leader and co-leader, both of them sit together and discuss the matters regarding decisions in the family. He is a provider, and she is a provider too. Both of them are working. He is the husband, she is the wife. He is the father, she is the mother. He has certain kinds of housework, especially maintenance. Plumbing, electrical, taking care of the yards, some carpenter work. I mean, he can do that. And she could have the rest. I know so many men, their main job is ironing the clothes. They are expert in ironing. And nothing wrong to tell him, while I'm shopping outside, please do the laundry. I remember 30 years ago or 40 years ago, it's unheard of, the man will stand in front of the laundry machine and no. When you return, you do it. مش شايفين الكلام ده؟ You don't remember? كلكم very young. بختكم. No, I remember. I remember my brother, my older brother. And this was maybe in the 1960s. He was a medical doctor. And he was helping his wife. Both of them are doctors. And he was helping his wife washing, using the washer and dryer, so many members of the family say, see, that man, he was involved in washing and drying the clothes, as if he's doing a sin. And of course, my brother, he felt that cooperation between the two. Now it is something normal for this to happen. And we have to decide which kind of family we'd like to be. It cannot be, you can't have both of them, both two systems. You can't. Say your wife is working and providing, and her time for the house is less, so she needs your cooperation as a man. Then you say, no, I am the man. I don't do housework. Yes, if you can hire somebody by your money, fine. Somebody could help and do these works. But if you don't have the money, it's not. It is the principle. The man can help his wife in whatever he can do, including raising the children, changing diapers, washing the clothes. You could put one load in the dishwasher. You can do whatever. Nothing wrong with that. Even so many men are so interested in cooking, maybe more than their wives. And they help one another. If he's outside, they could help cooking. The problem, as I told you, if someone will take the benefits of the non-traditional and he wants to stay in the traditional, it will cause problems. Now, what are the difference in style between the utilitarian and intrinsic? The intrinsic marital relationship, the whole marital relationship is focused on the real relationship between the husband and wife as a priority over parenting and housework and everything. Marital relationship, as God has prescribed in priorities, God, priority number one. Number two, my spouse. Number three, my children. Number four, original family. And anything else, work, hobbies, friends, service in the church, whatever. So these are the priorities. Relationship with God supersede the relationship with the spouse. Relationship with the spouse must come before relationship with the children. The Indian movies is not now. I mean, this is not. So many are so interested in viewing such movies. And some are interested to say, no, our children, our parenting relationship comes before the spousal relationship, the marital relationship. And this is wrong according to God and the church and the fathers of the church. I mean, early fathers, like John Chrysostom. He said these priorities and it's biblical. leave your father and mother and be joined to your wife, and that two shall become one flesh, is not conditioned by having children. So we have set priorities. This is the intrinsic relationship. The utilitarian marital relationship is a relationship between husband and wife which is focused mainly on anything other than the intrinsic relationship, including parenting, taking care of the house, the bills, the financial, and they forget about their own relationship. They call it utilitarian, utilities. So any family focused, its marital relationship is focused on the utilities more than the intrinsic part, the result is a withered relationship which will lead to decay, dryness, withering of the companionship and intimacy in the marital relationship and the problems later on. So you have to decide before marriage which one you are going to do. And its priorities, those who would choose the intrinsic will take care of the utilities, of course. But they know this is a priority. I have to space certain time for my relationship with my spouse. So few days will not go away without meeting with my spouse to communicate and have affection and discussion about so many things. Have personal, individual time, quality time together, companionship and intimacy. Leadership and submission. I will start with manhood. What's manhood? I could recite it. Do you see it all in front of you? You will find in the manhood and womanhood. So before I go to that, we have to read the Bible, which will decide for us what's leadership and what's submission. Certain difficult issues, difficult verses, we have to interpret.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Verse 7. He is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. Verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. Verse 12. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God.
Verse 3 is the most difficult to interpret. Verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 11. So, the head of man is what? Is who? Christ. And the head of woman is? And the head of Christ is? What's meant by head of Christ is God. It explains the kind of headship. Each one is coming out of. The woman came out of man. Eve came out of man. Adam. She looks up to the source. Man came out of God. The only begotten son of the Father. So it's not a headship, which means slavery. No. And actually, the man, since he is responsible about his wife who came out of him. She's bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and that we shall become one flesh. Before I realize that she is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, I cannot leave, cleave, and unite. This realization is so important. So the man is responsible before his head to give a report every day about the one whom he is taking care of, his wife or his wife and his children. He talks to his head, giving that report. My responsibility, O Lord, is so hard on me. Please help me. I feel the iniquities of my wife and my children. I am the one responsible for it, since you are the one who told me so. So please, O Lord, help me. The woman reports to God, but to her husband primarily, regarding what's in the house. And of course she could call for the help of God too, since she's a co-leader. So headship is not a head and someone inferior, someone higher and someone inferior, as we are going to discuss so much details after that. And you'll find in verse 7 and 12, 11 and 12, that neither is independent of the other. The two are equal to God. Since the woman is from the man, but the man is with the woman, be completed to be one. Without her in marriage, he is missing. She came out of him, but when she returned to him by the mystery of matrimony, he became complete. The flesh is completed, as St. John Chrysostom mentioned. Without her, he is incomplete. And without him, she is incomplete. But both of them are valuable to God. And the value, hear that please, and the value of each one of them to the family is equal, but with different functions. To the eyes of God, the value of the mom, value of the dad, is equal, but with different functions for the dad and for the mom. Same house, same husband and wife. Both of them, husband and wife, must be available to one another, psycho-emotionally, spiritually and physically. It is a must on both of them, availability. And then they are also available for the children. And all this in front of God, who is the real head of the family, seeing them. Let us go to Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church.
How many verses you have read concerning the wife, and how many concerning the man, husband? Count verse 22, 23, and 24. Three. Now, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. These are for the man. And even verse 31, therefore the man shall leave, included. So the role or responsibility of the man is enormous. Responsible for his wife to be without any blemish. How? How could I be responsible for my wife to be an icon without a blemish? He said that, correct? I wish to be a woman and not to have that responsibility. Washing by the word, responsible for her to be clean, perfect to the eyes of God. And if any blemish happens, I will be asked. Wives, would you like to be men with that kind of responsibility? Answer me, please. Would you like? It's so hard, responsible, spiritual responsibility, so hard if you take it seriously, diligently. So, God in Ephesians 5 asked the wife to submit. But in verse 22, what's mentioned in verse 21? Submit one to another in the fear of God. Which means it's something mutual. Submission or respect is something mutual. Submission is not slavery. It is respect. Why God asked the wife primarily to respect her husband, and asked the man in 25 primarily to love his wife, although both of them respect and love, but the main deal for the man is to love and sacrifice himself as Christ gave himself for the church. And wife, respect your husband in all things, as to the Lord, as you are respecting the Lord. Because God knows very well that if the man is not respected in his wife, he could be crumbled and crack and he will never be there. Psychologically and emotionally, everything. Respect for the man is number one for him. God is the one who knows that. And the woman, if a woman feels that she is not loved, or the man is not expressing love to her with sacrifice and giving, she withers like a flower, she will dry. A plant, she will dry. If you want to destroy your husband, disrespect him. But you'll be against God. If you want to destroy your wife, don't show love to her. So God knows exactly the prime need of each one. That's why he is insisting on love and respect. Although it is a two-way road. And I can't say, since she is not respecting me, I'm not going to love her. Since he is not loving me, I'm not going to respect him. No. I am responsible before my Creator on my prime responsibility. I will love and love and love. And God will let my wife not respect me only. She will kneel before the love, not before me. She will submit to the love and sacrifice. And if she is respecting me that much, I will find myself obliged to pour my love on her if Christ is in the relationship. Christian marital relationship and his presence is seen, clearly seen. Go to Colossians chapter 3, two verses.
Verse 18 and 19. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them.
The same meaning but with some difference. As fitting in the Lord, which means if your obedience and respect will contradict with the command of the Lord, don't do it. As it is fitting with the Lord. And husband, be sure, don't make the life of your wife bitter. ما تمررش عشتها يعني. You are responsible about the love, not to be bitter towards her. It's been love. And then let us now leave St. Paul and go to the one who is married, St. Peter, and see what he has written for us.
1 Peter 3:1-4. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
He's reading very good. Thank you, Joseph. I love the one who reads carefully and clearly the Bible, whether in Arabic or in English. We have to read the Bible in such a way. Peter was married, but he started also, wife, submit to your husband. Even if they don't obey the word of God, and you could win them to Christ without what? Without a word. Don't talk that much. Don't preach your husband. Don't give spiritual sermon to your husband who doesn't believe in God or in the word of God. So many husbands are not practicing Christianity, and all we find the side of women is full more than men in the liturgy. Okay? But don't go and rebuke your husband, tell him why you didn't come, and give him a lesson, punish him, and give him... No, no. You are not going to win. This is the key verse. Without a word, but through your chaste conduct, he is going to be won to Christ. And then, verse 3 and 4, their name is in the gospel. This is the gospel of femininity. About the outer adornment of the outer beauty and the inner beauty, the incorruptible beauty. The incorruptible beauty of any woman is the gentle and the quiet spirit. The outer adornment must be modest, which means extreme regarding styling of the hair and the jewelry and the fashion and the clothes. If it's too much, it's against God, according to St. Peter. And I wish if verse 7 was written in 1 Peter, I wish if it was there. Anybody knows about it? Especially from our gender, the men. Verse 7 in the same chapter is saying, if I'm not going to respect the feminine vessel that much as I myself, as someone who is going in the life of salvation like me, see that the consequence, my prayers are not going to be accepted. Here came the respect, not only the love. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 7, as we are going to discuss in that topic of intimacy, you will find, husband, render to your wife affection due her, likewise, wife to your husband. So it's equal. But God has focused on the respect of the woman to her husband and the love of the husband to his woman, because he loves each one of us and he knows our weak point. A man lives on respect and love, but a woman lives on love and respect. Now, I want him to read for us what's meant by manhood. And be sincere and honest with yourself, men. See what you are missing and try to work on it. And you'll find manhood is not, and manhood is. The first three in manhood are not describing manhood. Although so many of us, they are bragging about it. In womanhood, the first six are not regarded real womanhood. Although some women are bragging about it. Then the rest, till number 15, is what's real manhood to the eyes of God and what's real womanhood. We'll read it.
Manhood is not cruelty and muscle power, as an example of wrestlers. Manhood is not potency. Manhood.
Sexual potency. Yes.
Manhood is not controlling others. Manhood is self-control, courage, chivalry, generosity, assertiveness, involvement, group or family, authoritativeness, responsibility, leadership, consistency, decisiveness, stability, not like a reed shaken by the wind.
Thank you so much. So many are so interested in viewing on the TV the wrestling matches. You know the wrestling matches? And with their voice on and muscles, playing with their muscles and cruelty, nearly killing and the blood and as if this is manhood. This is not manhood. If you are bragging about your muscles, your body built as a man, and you try to frighten your wife by the tone of your voice, this is not manhood. The degree of your sexual potency is not an indication of your manhood. If you lose even the potency, you're still a man. Controlling others is not an indication of your manhood, but your self-control. The first character of a man is self-control in any situation. He's representing God the Pantocrator in the matter relationship, Christ. I can't imagine a man who's not courageous. What's the opposite of courage? I want to see it positively, not negatively. Would you imagine a man is always frightened from the dark and from the rats and lizards and cracking of the roof? Please go. Go and see. Go. Maybe. He has not been respected. Cowardness is not manhood. I have to say it. A stingy man is not respected. Chivalry is someone who is jumping always for the rescue. If you find his wife or children in need, he's there. Assertiveness. A passive man is not a man. Passivity. But assertiveness. He could say no when it's needed, yes when it's needed, politely, in the exact timing and place. A man who is introvert, he doesn't like to be involved with his family. Always outside, but is not involved as the leader of the family. He is not a man. It's part of his manhood is missing inside the family or inside the group he's leading. Responsibility, of course, an irresponsible man is not a man. If you are appointed by God as a leader and you decline that leadership, then unless you are sick, I mean bedridden, then your co-leader will work. But as long as you are there, leadership has certain qualities which is coming to be discussed. Consistency in your behavior. You don't love your wife and then you don't love. You love, you don't love. You know? Doesn't work. Ability to make a decision. Decision making. Decisiveness. And then stability. You are not like a reed shaken by the wind. One time you say yes, one time you say no. One time yes and no. Any group will tell something, will say yes. Other groups say the opposite, will tell them yes. This is not manhood. You are not a people pleaser. You have to be a man. And the man knows what's right and what's wrong. Even if you tell him this is right and it's wrong, he says, no. According to God, this is wrong. This is a man. Stable, decisive, and consistent. Now we look for womanhood. Authoritativeness, I would describe it with the leadership. The word authoritative means his ability to understand, communicate, and delegate with the other members of the family. It will come within the description of the leadership. Thank you.
Womanhood is not seduction, fake weakness, androgyny, nagging, harshness, loudness.
Would you imagine a woman showing her femininity in seductive behavior? It's not a godly woman. Or pretending that she's so weak so she could attract her husband to help her. This is not womanhood. Most women outlive men. They are not weak. They could use their muscles, but see, I mean, so many men are dead and their wives are still there. I mean, as a proof for that, you know. So they outlive men, they are not weak. So if you pretend that the weak are the weak to have the compassion of your husband, no, this is not wrong, this is not femininity. Then androgyny. Androgyny means, you know, the Amazon women? You know, Amazon women? That story, I don't know if that's fiction story or not, about that island which is only inhabited by women. A queen and warriors and officers, all of them women and women and women. And other island close to them, you'd have men. No man could come to this island. The woman is in charge of everything. She can do whatever. There is no need for the man in her life, except for one thing. The woman go by a boat to the other island of men in order to be pregnant and return back. So it's only one benefit. And then if the baby is a boy, he has to return to the island of men. A girl, she will live with them. So that ideology, I don't need the man in my life. I can do all things. Androgyny means as if androgen, the male hormones, is more in her blood, the ratio. But this is the ideology of androgyny. Now, certain characters which doesn't fit with God who created the female with certain character. And from where I'm getting that? I'm imagining Virgin Mary. Could you imagine Virgin Mary seductive? Shaking, pretending weakness? No. Androgynous Virgin Mary? Of course not. Then, could I remember that Virgin Mary was nagging, was harsh, was loud? This is not Virgin Mary, which we know. Now, who is Virgin Mary? See, the other character, how it's fitting with our Theotokos Virgin Mary.
Motherhood is purity. Womanhood is purity, holiness, wisdom, modest beauty, gentleness or meekness, calmness or quietness, compassion, affectionate, and motherhood.
I can't imagine if the best woman ever is not holy, to the eyes of a holy man, she's missing part of her femininity. Purity. Purity of the heart. Impure actions is not showing that she is a holy woman. Virgin Mary was the mother. She is the mother of us all. But she was taking care of virgins of the Mount of Olives. Abigail, famous of her wisdom, Deborah, of her wisdom and administration. So wisdom is a character of womanhood. And I will mention in the leadership of the man also wise or wisdom. So the outer beauty must be modest. How long Queen Esther remained, for how many months, adorning herself to appear before the king? 6 months, and another 6 months putting perfumes on her. 1 year, and she was so pretty, nothing wrong. And Israel did not go through the catastrophe of killing them, which Haman was preparing for. Nothing wrong for a female to show herself, but modestly, her beauty which God gave her. Look for the nuns, so pretty. Not the features, but the Holy Spirit in them is showing them as the prettiest of all. Around them you'll find the black, and their, irrespective of the color of their skin, you feel coming out of them certain beauty. The two main characters which the gospel of femininity has mentioned is gentleness or meekness and calmness. That's why a loud woman, full of anxiety, she will lose her femininity to the eyes of holy men. I can't imagine also a woman who is cruel and her femininity is showing her cruelty. She has to be compassionate, able to express feeling, love, affectionate. She teaches the man how to be affectionate. And then mothering others is a quality even for those who are not married. Mothering or motherhood. These are qualities for femininity as it is showing in our Theotokos Virgin Mary. If any one of us would find himself, and of course all of us could find ourselves defective in any of these, we have to work on it. Now, we'll go what's meant by Christian leadership. Before I will go into that, which is more important biologically to the human body, the brain or the heart? Biologically, which is more important to the body, the brain or the heart? With all my respect, some of you mentioned before the two. Could the brain work without blood vessels coming from the heart? Could the heart work without nerve supply coming from the brain?
Yeah.
The two are indispensable. You can't, brain without blood coming to it, what will happen? You'll find atrophy of the brain. Atherosclerosis leads to so many problems. Clot in the brain, infarction, find so many. So the brain needs the heart, and the heart needs the brain. The woman needs the man, and the man needs the woman in the body. Neither has supremacy over the other. The brain and the heart. Remember by that. And the head, the most important part of it is the brain inside, not the bones. We must not be stubborn men. We must be sensitive men. the brain. Now, I will see characters. You will find five characters. One is not manhood, authoritarianism, which is dictatorship. But now, starting from authoritative, you will find five characters, then the last five starting by S. The last five. You'll find them sensitive, submissive, sacrificing, spiritual servant. Character of a leader, a Christian leader. And the first five.
Authoritative, which is understanding, communicate, and delegate. Patient, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Encourager, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Wise and responsible, Ephesians chapter 5, 26, 27, 30, 33. Provider, nourish and cherish, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. Sensitive, brain and body. Submissive, humble. Sacrificing. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Spiritual, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Servant, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. John 13, verse 14.
I will give a comment only about sensitive. Was meant by the brain and the body. Anyone who has any knowledge of biology, the brain receives information, sensations from every part of the body. So he knows exactly if the nail of the little toe, somebody is touching it lightly. He knows. And if a fire is coming close to the foot, he gives an order to protect the foot by moving the foot away from the fire. So his role is to feel for the other parts of his body. To feel and protect. To feel and protect. Now, if you get a knife and cut through the brain is insensitive to himself, but sensitive to others in order to protect them. This is the man, the leader. He must not be oversensitive to himself. No, he has to be sensitive to every member about their feeling and about their condition. What do they need? And he is the provider who nourish and cherish and protect. This is the sensitivity. Those characters Joe has mentioned are character of a Christian leader. Give me one woman who does not love to live with such a leader. Everyone is praying to have one of those. So why not work on ourselves to be as such? Everything is in front of us. And we have no excuse as men. Now, what's meant by submission? From the Amplified Bible, these synonyms of submissions are mentioned. And there is no one word means slavery in it. So if you will read Joseph Smith for us, different synonyms, all of them with the meaning of submission. You find the first respect and then others. Do you know what's meant by veneration? Veneration of the icon? You know the icon, when you put it, and to be venerated by those who are praying, say, veneration of the icon of resurrection, to be set in front of the congregation, and you go and take the blessing of that icon which is anointed. Veneration of the icon. This word comes as a synonym for submit, which means the utmost respect for the man as the image of Christ. Although he might not be the image, but I have to look at him irrespective of his behavior, because he will be won to Christ by what? By the chaste conduct of the woman without a word. So you read for us, please, submission, what it means.
To respect, reverence, to regard, refers to, differs to esteem, to fear, to honor, humble, to praise, to support the bridge, to obey, to venerate, to submit, to admire exceedingly.
You have only the word support, the bridge. Now, this is the only one which I'm going to explain now to you. You know, the bridge is formed of a slab, a concrete slab, and with supporting pillars underneath, which is the one which is submerged in the water. The beams, the concrete, or what kind of beams, which is carrying on top of it, the pillars which are carrying on top of it, the concrete slab. Everybody is looking to what? To the slab on top. Just imagine this slab, which is not designed, it has to be designed with pillars of support underneath, and then some of those pillars will crack. What will happen to the whole bridge? It will fall down. Support means is to get under in order to support. You might not be visible what you are doing to others. And the one you are supporting could be visible. But you are taking the full credit by God, because you are the one. And the one on top knows that without you as a pillar, he will not be there. It's not meant by submit. Get under in order to support. So, I will go after that to who makes the decision in the family. Decision making in the family. It's so easy after that discussion that it's supposed to be, if the family is not traditional, if the family is a civil Christian family, the discussion between the wife and the husband as a leader and co-leader must go before making any decision. Unless we discussed yesterday personalities, unless the man or the woman is what kind of personality? Dominant, high dominant personality. He will not accept anybody to advise anything. Or he will hear and listen, but he doesn't apply, will ignore. And this is important. This I gave in short yesterday, the personalities, but after tomorrow I will start with the other speaking personalities in 5 sessions in extreme detail. able could attend and they could speak both languages if you like. So decision making. If I will say, okay, we have major decisions and minor decisions, which we would like to have? The major or the minor decisions? Men, what do you like to have? Major or minor? Or both? No answer. Women, if you have a choice between major, minor, or both, what do you want to have? Both. Okay. But if you have to choose between major and minor, what do you have to take? Somebody's saying major. Okay. Of course, in Christian family, we don't hear at all in counseling arena that a Christian couple came to say, because I am the man, I have to make the decision. Because I am the head, I have never heard it from someone who is really living as a living Bible. I have never heard it. There is no dispute. If both of them are living according to God and His presence is seen, both of them are discussing everything together. But this is a real story. I always say it, a real story. Pastor who is married for 40 years came to one member of our congregation on his matrimonial day and he gave him an advice. He told him, and you interpret it the way you like, after we finish that sentence. The man is a very good man, the pastor. He came, he told him, there was an agreement in the beginning of the marriage that all minor decisions are hers, but major decisions are mine. And in 40 years, I did not find one major decision. What does it mean? Was he sleeping? Can be فوت لها يعني? No. What is the real meaning? It's a good meaning. What is the real meaning? He's a very good pastor, very good personality. It means that there was no dispute about which is major or minor. He was leaving for her shopping and clothes of the children, whatever. These are minor decisions. And he did not regard any major decision as his area, because any decision he regarded as minor, and the two must be involved. He never took a decision by himself. So he asked her, yes, it might be major, but I need your presence. I have never found one major which I have to do decision by myself alone. If you think one day, since I am the man, I have to make the decision, and she is not important in that, there's a dispute. Now, we want to leave. We want to do something. Now, she's saying no, I'm saying yes. Since I am the man, my word has to go. This is wrong ideology. Even if you impose on your wife, it has to be such a way, you will harvest the consequences one day. You understand? it will come on your life, consequences. She might obey, but you will know the result later on. The plan of God, the two are valuable, the two are important, the two has minds. Actually, sometimes we say, no, the man is more into the logic and analytical thinking, and the woman is more emotional. No, it could be the opposite. But even so, if a man, his area is the logic and analytical thinking, and he's a goal achiever, and the woman is an emotional, and her mind is not as good in analysis as the man. And always the man, when he discusses with his woman, tell me, 1, 2, 3, 4. Why you are refusing? 1, 2, 3, 4. And the woman cannot say it this way. She'll say it in whatever way. There's something God gave the woman, and he deprived the man from it. Two antennae for the woman who sense the danger. We call it intuition. As someone who is married for 36 years, I'm telling you, please respect the intuition of your wife before making a decision. If you want to go for a business and all the logic and the analysis is telling you it's a good deal, and she will tell you, I'm not comfortable, I sense danger, but I can't say why. Please respect that. This is godly. This is not from the demons. Most women have this intuition, and both of them complement one another. Before a major decision, don't be determined to take it by your own if the woman will tell you, your wife will tell you, something is not right. Both of you will be getting into a reception party. And both of you are ready. She's very well dressed, and you are well dressed, and you are getting inside. She will look around her, and then she will go back. Why? I'm not feeling comfortable. No, we have to go in. I'm telling you, if you don't respect her intuition without any analysis or logic, you will pay a hefty price. Not because you are disobedient, because something might happen. She's looking and seeing certain things you cannot see. If you are returning, just as an example, training. If you are returning from any party, and she will tell you, did you observe the dress of such a woman? What color was the dress? I don't know. The man will say. Or maybe you say, okay, red. Did you see how many flowers were on the on front part? Of course not. Did you see her hairstyle? I can't remember. It's not important. Be sure, most women are very good observer in certain things. And their antennae, their radar, will tell them, better not to go into there, because somebody there will cause a trouble for us. You could ask, if you are a married man for many, many years, and you have seen your wife doing that, you understand exactly what I mean. Respect one another. If both of you feel comfortable for a decision, go ahead. Tell Abuna to pray for both of you, it will be alright. But if one of you, especially the woman, who cannot say a logic explanation, take care. Respect her intuition, because it might cause trouble for you. so many businesses. You were in a business, she said, I am not comfortable with that man, I don't know why. And her intuition proves to be right. This is not superstition. Most women, God gave them this radar. This radar with antennae is so important. Take it as an advice, and God bless you. Thank you. A peaceful end or not? Thank you. Any question? Did you finish? Anybody took the booklet of inventory yesterday and he wants to come and tell me how he could improve his personality? I will give him a sheet of paper with items he will look for and will take as a priority two or three he feels that he needs it. But be careful. If you choose two or three or four, you need to improve in them your personality. Make a priority. Number one, number two, number three, number four. And you must need a plan to achieve that goal. No one could give you that plan in any book. Why? Only behavior therapist, Christian behavior therapist of behavior modification, and maybe some of the fathers could help you in these exercises to set a plan. There's no one book, because it is the whole experience of counseling. But at least you have to know more than the description of your personality, what do you need? Which means that you are missing these characters and you have to improve in it. Either Abuna will help you, or you ask someone, Christian specialist in that, to set for you the plan to achieve it. And one day someone from England called me, a servant there. He told me, I would like you to send me a few tips about counseling, so I would know how to counsel others. You know, as someone is telling a medical doctor, would you please send me 10 tips about medicine, surgery, family practice, again, the gynecology and the pediatrics, so I could practice medicine. Same in counseling. So, if you see these issues, as I told you, it will help you to know your defects and what you need to achieve. But you need to take it to someone, mostly Father of Confession in the beginning, to tell you how to achieve these goals. God bless you.
Mr. Nabil.
Yes.
It was very interesting that you mentioned intuition, but sometimes women themselves, they look at intuition as a sign of maybe fear of not wanting to proceed. How can you tell the difference? Or how can you recognize that this intuition is something that is godly or just being afraid of something that is unfamiliar?
It is godly. It is godly. God complimented Adam by a helper compatible with him and complement him. So what's missing in Adam is in Eve. And something missing in Eve is in Adam. And since the two become one flesh, then they have to respect the iniquities and the weaknesses of one another. Nothing. Intuition is godly. It's a godly character. Please, all men, it is a godly character given to the woman. Thank you for raising that question. It is godly.
I just have a small question. You raised the point of the man having the responsibility for to clear the woman's blemishes and to be responsible for her purity and to be responsible for her salvation. I just wanted to understand as to why that is. You can hear? Oh, okay. I just want to know, why is the man responsible for the women's blemishes? Why is he responsible for taking care of that? Why isn't the woman capable of doing that herself?
It's not the capability. Most women, if you think about the spiritual aspect, responsibility of the man as a spiritual leader is from God, since he is representing Christ to the church. Church cannot take care of Christ. Christ take care of the church. But in most of the homes, if the leader is unable to do that job, in most of the homes, the co-leader start to do it. But what I was warning, don't try to teach or preach your husband if he is not practicing the word of God. But teaching the kids is mostly for the woman, the wife. Interaction with the kids, prayer and stories is for the wife. But behaviors between the wife and the husband, which is the real teacher for the kids in virtues, must be for both. So, in other words, in the absence of the role of the spiritual leader, which is the husband, the co-leader must step in, especially for the children, but not for the husband himself. And gently, so gently, you could go with your husband after returning from the church, and if he has time, reasonable time, tell him in short, the sermon was about such and such, or some miracles which give hope from Pope Carolus or Abuna so and so, this will support and encourage him. But your chaste conduct will bring your husband to be an active spiritual leader.
Another just small quick question. What is meant by to fear your husband? It's one of the synonyms of being submissive. What does fear mean?
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Does it mean fear? These are synonyms. Fear of God is mean, this is respect with adoration of God. Fear of God means you tremble and shake from God? No. So fear has different meaning if you go to the dictionary. It doesn't mean that you tremble and shake from your husband.